I greet you all in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And just a few words to those who speak French. J'espère que vous comprenez chaque mot. I speak very slowly so that all, whether you speak Afrikaans or any of your dialects of French, you should understand the English I'm speaking. For me, a very special privilege, and the Lord knows my heart, I just wish to share a few important things with all of you. As our brother said, there are callings for different purposes, and if you go through the Old Testament, God had a Noah, he had an Abraham, he had a Moses, he had Joshua, he had the prophets, and also the beginning of the New Testament happened according to what the Lord God had promised in the Old Testament. At the first coming of Christ, 109 prophecies from the Old Testament were fulfilled. Everything from the first promise in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where the Lord said that the seed of God would come through the woman to bruise the serpent's head. Every promise throughout the Old Testament was made, and when the time was fulfilled, God watched over His word. Even John the Baptist was a promised prophet. Now we have to understand, there is a fivefold ministry in the church. But if something happens in connection to the plan of salvation, then we think about the Old Testament and New Testament, that God can use prophets in a special way. A prophet is a mouthpiece of God. A prophet has "Thus says the Lord." A prophet can only speak after the Lord has spoken to him. And so we understand, to make it very brief in the different points, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, we read, "A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight a way for our God." In Malachi 3, verse 1, we read, "I will send my messenger before my face to prepare my way before me." When the time was fulfilled, the angel Gabriel came down visiting Zacharias in the temple. Luke chapter 1 from verse 11. Standing at the right hand of the altar, speaking to Zacharias, giving the promise about the birth of John the Baptist, that he would go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the Old Testament fathers to the New Testament children, to make a people ready for the Lord. Please remember, not to turn the heads. No. Not to turn the heads. To turn the hearts. To turn the hearts. In the head, you have arguments, but in the heart you believe. You believe what God said. And first, you must believe what the Word of God says, and then it will be revealed to you. If you think it should be revealed first, and then you would believe, it doesn't work that way. First, God speaks, and then we believe it, and then it is revealed unto us. So, we understand the New Testament began with the fulfillment of promises in the Old Testament. And therefore, in the same way it began, it also shall end. And our brother mentioned already about the prophecy in the Old Testament that before the great day of the Lord comes, that shall burn like an oven, a terrible day, the day of judgment. And before that day comes, according to Joel chapter 2, verse 31, sun will turn into darkness and the moon into blood before that great day of the Lord comes. Now we are in the day of salvation. Isaiah chapter 49 from verse 6 to 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2. This is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time. But the day of salvation began, and the day of salvation will end. And we do believe, according to the Word of God, that we're now living very, very close to the second coming of Christ. And if you read Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, you find all the predictions the Lord made which would come to pass in the last generation. And then our Lord even made the statement in Luke chapter 21, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So, beloved brothers and sisters, dear friends, it is not enough to know what God has done 2,000 years ago, or in the Old Testament or New Testament. We must know the promised Word of God for today. And please remember the scriptures. I wrote them down. We are the children of promise, believing the word of promise, receiving the spirit of promise. If you go to the word of promise, the first promise that was made to Abraham, and the first time the Lord met with Abraham in Genesis 12, and then continuing in all the chapters making promises about the promised land, even promises about Isaac and the other promises. Please, remember I wrote the scriptures down. Psalms 22 verse 30. And his seed shall serve him. Christ, the seed of God in the singular. All the sons and daughters of God are the seed of God in the plural. He is the firstborn, and we are also the firstborn. We have the birthright. We're born again by the seed of the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I repeat Psalms 22, verse 30. His seed shall serve him. And then in Psalms 89, verse 29, again it says, and his seed shall endure forever. And then coming to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, he will see his seed, his seed. There are two different seeds right from the Garden of Eden. There was a serpent seed, and we all know who Cain was. Cain is not mentioned in any, whether it's the Old or New Testament, not in Genesis chapter 5, not in Chronicles chapter 1, not in Luke chapter 3. Cain is never mentioned in reference to Adam or the descendants from Adam, not in the Old and not in the New Testament. So we must understand from the Holy Scriptures, there are believers and unbelievers. There are those who receive and those who reject. And God, from before the foundation of the world, knew who would receive and who would reject. So he could put our names into the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the earth, because he knew that we would believe him. We would believe him. Beloved, there is a great difference between believing in God. Over 2 billion on earth are Christians. And let's say they all believe in God. But my question is, like it says about Abraham, Abraham believed God. Who and how many of the over 2 billion believe God? They believe in God. But do they believe what God said in his word? This is the big difference. Even Satan believes in God and trembles and shakes. So it's not enough to believe in God. You must believe what God said in his word. All the promises God made in his word. And then, please note Romans chapter 9, verse 8. We are children of the promise. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. And have received the Spirit of promise. Galatians 3, 19. Until the seed comes, which is Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 23. Born by promise. Born by promise through the word of God. Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. Ye are, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Beloved, let me emphasize this in love, in the name of the Lord. All the people on earth who claim to believe the Bible, they believe in a Baptist way, Lutheran way, Anglican way, Catholic way. And the Bible is being interpreted into so many different thoughts and teachings. Every church, every denomination, they have their own Bible schools, their own seminaries. They all teach their people in their own ways. But the time has come to forsake our old ways and return to the way of God. Return to the Word of God. Return to the beginning. I always say the first and the last sermon must be the same. The first and the last baptism must be the same. one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Back to the beginning. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they remained in the doctrines of the apostles, in the breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in prayer. The New Testament church must return to that Bible pattern. There is a Bible pattern. There's a foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, and no other foundation can be laid except the one that is laid already. So we understand all the different churches have the different doctrines, but one thing they do have in common, and they call it the Apostolic Nicene Creed. Well, now we are hitting a point which is very important. Apostolic is only what originates with the apostles. Of Christ is only what originates with Christ. Something that was formulated in the year 325 and confirmed in the year 331, and finally at Chalcedon in the year 381, cannot be called apostolic. That was 350 years after the apostles. So apostolic is apostolic. And only the book of Acts shows us what was preached and how the baptism in water and how the baptism in the Holy Spirit took place at the very beginning. So I must tell you that we're now living at a junction time. We must make our decision, because about 350 Protestant churches and denominations are joined in the World Council of Churches, and they all look back to Rome. I don't look to Rome. I look to Jerusalem. To Jerusalem. Because in Isaiah chapter 2 it says the word of God will come forth from Jerusalem, and the doctrine from Mount Zion. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. And from there, the word, the true gospel, as our brother said already about Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom, not a made-up gospel, but the true everlasting gospel of the kingdom of God that was preached at the beginning must now be preached and practiced at the very end, at the end of the time of grace. So I must say a few things, and please do not be hurt. I want you to be ready when the Lord returns. And usually our subject begins with John chapter 14, where our Lord made the promise, I go to prepare the place. Then I will return and I will take you to be where I am. He came to be with us, to redeem us. And after redemption was made complete, he went to glory, preparing the place to take us home. So, beloved, as we are now very near to the second coming of Christ, there must be a calling out time. There must be a preparation time. There must be a separation time. And just to let you know, very, very straight, the Vatican made the statement that all the Protestant churches are not churches. They are just Christian fellowships, continuing in the same statement. Only the Roman Catholic Church is the church where you can obtain salvation, continuing to say that all the Christian denominations must return into the bosom of the Roman Catholic Church. And I come from the country of Reformation. In 2017, it will be 500 years ago when Martin Luther nailed the 95 theses on the Schloss Church in Wittenberg. And now, before 2017, they wish to find a way to join, to say Martin Luther did not want a split. Martin Luther, Martin Luther. They try to bewitch all the denominations and tell them that it was wrong, and they must all return to the Roman Church to have full salvation. I'm a Protestant from here to the sole of my feet. There's not a single teaching in the Roman Church which is true and which is biblical. There were no popes, no cardinals, no Hail Marys, nothing that has been introduced into the Roman Church that was in the early church of Jesus Christ. And our Lord said in Matthew 16, I will build my church, not a church. I will build my church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, by one Spirit we're baptized into one body, into the body of Christ. And before we can be baptized into the body of Christ as a member of the body, we must be born again. And we're not born again by music, not by songs, but according to James chapter 1 verse 18, we're born again by the everlasting seed of the Word of God. First, you must have a seed, even in the natural. You must have a seed before you can have a birth. And therefore, please take it to heart. The Word of God is the seed. And every true believer will have the same experience Mary had when the Word was made flesh and the Son of God was born. What was the message? What was the promise? The Holy Ghost will overshadow you, and that which is born of you will be called the Son of God. The word of promise was given first, and Mary believed the word of promise. And then the word was made flesh. So we, as children of promise, believe the written word of promise, and we take it as a seed into our hearts. Matthew chapter 13, the good sower sowed the seed, and the good sower is the Son of Man. And then in verse 37 in Matthew 13, the children of the kingdom are the seed, the good seed. First, the seed is the Word. And when the Word is sown into your heart, and the Holy Spirit comes upon you to create the new life in you, you are born again, and then you're a child of God. First, our Lord and Savior was the promised seed. And then the time came when the Word, the promise, became a reality. So it's the same with us today, beloved brothers and sisters. And I must tell you these things because it could be that you would hear these things for the last time. No one knows the day or the hour of the return of Christ, but if we know all the predictions from the Word of God, not only from Matthew 24, but also from Mark 13, Luke 21, but also from 1 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 3. If we know all these predictions, then we know that we're living very, very close to the return of Christ. And therefore, we must say, this is the last call, the final call, and the decision you make today, you will have to take with you to eternity. So make the right decision. If you read Luke chapter 19, our Lord went to the Mount of Olives and he wept. He wept looking over Jerusalem, saying, how often did I wish to gather you as a hen gathers her brood, but you did not want. And then he pronounced judgment, making the statement, because you did not recognize your day of God's visitation. My brothers and sisters, don't fail to recognize your day of God's visitation. Our brother mentioned Brother William Branham. Maybe I should say this. Since 1949, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I had a true baptism of the Holy Spirit. In those days, there were no imitations. There were no man-made things. It was the Holy Spirit filling first. Today, the charismatic personalities, they will tell you, speak, and then they speak something, but the inside is still empty. In Bible days, first the Holy Spirit entered the heart, and then they spoke, with new tongues. Why? Because the tongues had first received the fire. They were first purified by the fire of God. And then they began to speak under the same anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the people heard the words of God. So in comparison, very quickly, when the Apostle Peter preached his first sermon, the people were asking, what must we do? What must we do? And the answer was, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the Bible pattern. That was the day of Pentecost. That was when the New Testament church came into existence. She was purchased by the blood on the cross of Calvary. And when the holy blood of the Son of God was shed on the day of Pentecost, that holy life, eternal life that was in the Son of God, came into all New Testament believers who were redeemed by the blood. If you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the same life that was in that blood comes into your heart. And then you're a son and daughter of God. It's not a Christian religion. It's reality. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And in Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul was writing, I'm crucified with Christ. I live no more, but Christ lives His life through me. Hallelujah. This is the time, this is God's time for God's people to have the true experiences. The true experience of salvation, of the new birth, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the true revelation of Jesus Christ, and the true inspiration by the same Holy Spirit. The first 300 years passed, and all were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in the first 300 years after Christ. There was no sprinkling, no pouring. There was the baptism taking place according to the apostolic pattern. You can read it in the English church history, in the German, in the French church history. You can read that the first 300 years went on like this. But then, from the time of Constantine, and around that time, according to church history, there were 128 different, let's say, denominations or fractions within Christianity. From the first 300 years, already 128 different fractions within Christianity. And then under Roman rule, all were forced into one Christianity, which in the Roman Empire, the Roman Church became the Church, and all had to submit, all had to join, all had to agree. And what was not done in the first 900 years happened in the Seven Crusades, when they had to kiss the crucifix and receive the Catholic religion or face death. So I have to tell you that we must come out from all denominations. Ye, my people, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Then I will receive you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, and I will be your God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14. So, beloved brothers and sisters, even this statement I have to make, from the time of Reformation, there were great revivals. There was not only a Martin Luther, there was a John Wesley, there was a John Smith, there was a Manuel Simon, there was a William Booth, and there were revivals after revivals. There was a Moody, there were many, many others, even up to 150 years ago. There were men of God. There was a Charles Price. There was a Smith Wigglesworth. There were many. But brothers, 100 years ago, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place on every continent on earth. And in 1953, I met two brothers in the city of Kassel in Germany, just north of Frankfurt, who were present in 1906 and 1909 when the Holy Spirit fell upon whole congregations, not only at Azusa Street in Los Angeles with Mr. Parham, But everywhere, the Spirit of God was moving again and again. And so the different Pentecostal movements came into being. And the two main movements were the oneness and again the Trinity, the two main movements with those who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And please forgive me, but I must say the truth. Both of these teachings are wrong. The Jesus only is wrong. It's God only. God only. And God manifested Himself in all of eternity. There was only God, the Spirit, the invisible, whom no one had ever seen. Elohim, Elohim. And in the first chapter of Genesis, you only read the word Elohim only from chapter 2, verse 4. You read the combination Elohim, Yahweh. Because the invisible, eternal God, who is Spirit, came down into a visible form of appearance as Lord walking in the Garden of Eden. Not a second person, the same person manifested in a visible form of appearance. So we understand throughout all the Old Testament, the Lord visited His prophets. He sat down with Abraham, Genesis 18, having his feet washed, having a meal together with Abraham. And beloved friends, I say this with great respect. I know the Lord personally. I heard His voice. I heard His voice. I know Him by divine revelation. You can never imagine what it means to have heard the audible, all-penetrating voice of the Lord saying, "My servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word." And because the voice came from up but from the right, with one blow I was on the carpet from the impact of that voice. And maybe I should tell you this second part. When I could stand to my feet, my knees were just shaking like this. And I looked again towards the same direction to the window. And I said, "Dear Lord, they will not hear me. They've got all things in plenty. They are not ready to listen." I just said these words when the Lord from the same direction spoke the second time, "My servant, the time will come when they will hear you. There is coming a great famine, store in food, for then thou shalt stand amidst the people to give out the food. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." This is God's time. We don't make a choice to say, "I believe this, but I don't believe this. I believe this, and I don't." No, the time has come to believe every word of God. Every word of God. And not interpret. But the word of God must be received in its original form. And this might interest you, but I'm a German citizen, and in 1962 we expected a crisis to come upon our country. In 1961, in August, the wall in Berlin was built. Russian tanks on one side, American tanks on the other side. And we did not know what would happen. The Cuba crisis, one crisis after the other in 1962. So when the Lord said, I will send a famine, I have to admit, I thought it would be natural and may put in many groceries to survive. But no tragedy came, no famine came, but a desperation came upon me. So I made a trip to the USA to see Brother Branham, whom I knew for 10 years. And I knew God shows him visions. And at the beginning of December 1962, we were seated in Louisville, Kentucky, together with Brother Branham, Fred Softman, and Ben Woods. And we had a little talk. Brother Branham spoke about his meetings in Germany and in Switzerland. And I got impatient. I said, Brother Branham, I came to ask you something. And he just put his hand across the table and said, Brother Frank, may I tell you what the Lord has spoken to you? Imagine for one moment, the Lord spoke to me in the German language. And William Branham repeats in the English language every word the Lord had spoken to me. Hallelujah! Glory be to Almighty God! And he said, Brother Frank, you misunderstood. You thought there would be a natural famine and you put natural groceries in store. And then he just continued to share with me that God would send a famine to hear his words, and the words and the message and the food you're to put in store is the promised word of God for this day. And my beloved friends, you cannot imagine what was going on in my heart. And then he finally said, Brother Frank, wait with the giving out of the food until you get the rest of the food. These were the last words he spoke in connection with the storing in of the food. To make it very brief, I received every type Brother Branham preached in the USA, was sent to me in Germany. I grew under his ministry. I was with him right before the opening of the seven sails. I drove with him in the same car. I ate with him at the same table. I'm an eyewitness, I'm an ear witness of the supernatural, infallible ministry God had granted and given to his servant and prophet, William Branham. So, I'm here as a witness. And our brother referred to Matthew chapter 24. This gospel will be preached as a witness. The apostles were witnesses. We are witnesses of what God has promised for our day and what God has done in our time. Even to the great experience Brother Branham had on June the 11th, 1933, when from the supernatural light that you see on the picture above Brother Branham's head, when from that supernatural light the voice spoke as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. You are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. In April 1962, these eyes, I counted between 10 and 12 people who were present in the tabernacle in Jeffersonville when the burial of Brother Branham took place, Billy Paul was asking if there are some present who were there in 1933 who saw that light. May they stand. And they stood. I counted between 10 and 12 people in April 1966 who were present in June 1933. So these eyes were the last ones to see Brother Branham in the coffin. And I tell you, the burial day was a terrible day. In all my previous life, I had not wept as much as on this one day. I was not singing. The congregation was singing Only Believe, and on the snow white dove, repeating, for about 2 hours. I did not sing. I was talking to God. I was praying. I said, Lord, how can the bride be prepared without this ministry you've given to your servant and prophet? I was torn to pieces. For me, a whole world had collapsed. But at the evening of the same day, when I returned to my hotel room, something happened. And this time, not an audible voice, but it spoke in my heart. Now your time has come to go from city to city, from country to country, to share the word of God, to share the spiritual food that was stored in. At that time, I was preaching, but I was always earning my money. I was working for the German government right up to 1966 and preaching at the same time. But when I returned in April 1966, I gave my notice, I quit my work, and I started the international ministry as the Lord had called me and commanded me to take His word and to share the spiritual food. This I have done in the past years all over the earth. I look back now and these feet have stepped on the soil of 155 countries. Alone in the year 2010, I visited 27 countries. Just coming and going, sharing the precious word of God, the last message, the last call. And I say again, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14, ye my people, not everybody, ye my people, ye my sons and daughters, ye my people whom I purchased, for whom I'm preparing the place. Ye, my people, come out. And also to share with you Revelation 17 and 18 briefly. In 17, the description is about the great city which rules over the kings of the earth, which is built on 7 hills. And in chapter 18, verse 4, ye, my people, come out from among them that you don't partake in the judgment. So this is the message of calling out from all Babylonian captivities, from all Babylonian confusions. Return to God. Return to His word. And I must not forget to say that all the great men, and beloved, I believe that Martin Luther was a man of God. I believe that John Wesley was a man of God. That John Smith was a man of God. that Modi was a man of God. There were many, many men of God in their day, but they were not prophets. And in their time, the end had not yet been. But in our time, God promised a prophet, not an evangelist, a prophet, because the word of God comes to the prophet. And then the teachers take the same word that is being revealed to the prophet. So the ministry of Brother Branham was unique. It was misunderstood. And because I know all the great evangelists since 1949, as I said, I met all of them. I met Oral Roberts. I met T.L. Osborne. I met Maurice Cirillo. I met. I was in their conventions internationally. I even translated for David du Plessis, he was a citizen of your country, born in South Africa, who was taking part in the conventions also in Germany. I translated for him. He was called Mr. Pentecost. And in 1964, when I preached in Rome, he was invited to the Second Vatican Council as an observer. So I took a train with him right to the Vatican, and he went in, but I came out. I did not go in. I was not invited, but he went, the door opened for him to the Second Vatican Council, but the door did not open for me. I just saw the Vatican. And brothers and sisters, when the Holy Scripture describes the gold, Jesus, all of gold, Paul, all of gold, Peter, all of gold, gold. And that city will be destroyed in 1 hour, according to Revelation 17 and 18. So before the final uniting under Rome, the last call must be given. Return to God. Return to the apostolic pattern. And friends, the first baptism recorded in history by sprinkling took place in the year 337. 337. And it happened with Constantine. When Constantine was dying, they wanted him to die as a Christian. So when he laid on his deathbed, they just put a few drops on his forehead and called it baptism. Baptism is baptism. Both go into the water. The one who baptizes and the one who is baptized, both go into the water. And the word baptismo means to be dipped under. So baptism takes place by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And only very briefly, I must say this. Matthew 28 was misunderstood. But there the Lord speaks about the name, baptizing them into the name singular. Not three names, three titles, but one name. Father is a title, Son is a title. But what is the name in which God revealed Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? In the all-sufficient name, Jesus. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. That is the New Testament covenant name. And in the Hebrew language, the name is Yahshua. And the Old Testament covenant name is Yahweh. And the combination Yahshua simply means in Hebrew, Yahweh Savior. The same Lord of the Old Testament is the same Lord of the New. Yahweh of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. One name, three titles. We could go into many different things. So, beloved, the time has come. And as soon as I heard Brother Branham make the statement that all who are baptized in the formula of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, regardless of church, they're baptized into the Roman Church, I was shocked, but I found my way to the River Rhine. And anybody who knows Germany knows our largest river, Rhine, which originates in Switzerland and lands in the Netherlands into the Atlantic Ocean, bypassing Krefeld. And we, a few brothers, went to the River Rhine, and we're all baptized. I don't call it re-baptized, because there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. All the others are not baptisms. They're fake. They're not right before God. It remains forever and ever one baptism, and that's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One Lord, one Savior, one faith, and we're fighting for this one faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Let me say in closing, beloved brothers and sisters, dear friends, the promised return of our Lord is very, very near. No one knows the day or the hour, but our Lord said three times, when you see all these things come to pass, then you know that the time is near, even at the door. Making the statement complete, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. Look up. The second thought, Matthew 25, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. If in your community a wedding is announced, not all the ladies prepare, only the bride prepares. Is that right? All the other ladies continue as usual. But the bride, who has the promise, she prepares for the marriage. So it is now. Only those who are part of the bride church of Jesus Christ, they hear the last message and they believe it and they prepare. And with them, the scripture will be fulfilled. Matthew 25, verse 10. They that were ready went in to the marriage and the door was closed. How many of you wish to be with our Lord and Savior, with the bridegroom at the marriage supper of the Lamb? God bless you. God bless you. I will see you again. How many are preparing? How many are obeying? How many are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! And the rest, your time has come. Your time has come. Those have not yet been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your time has come. Take the next opportunity. So, in closing, I say in the name of the Lord, God fulfilled His promise. He sent the Elijah in our time. And as the Elijah took the 12 stones, rebuilding the altar with Israel, so this man of God took the doctrines of the 12 apostles, restored the altar of the Lord, went back to the original foundation, as we said before, And Paul was writing to the Corinthians, no other foundation can be laid except the one that is laid already, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the beginning and the end. He is Alpha and Omega. He began with His church. He will finish with His bride church. And we are God's privileged people to live now, to know the Lord by divine revelation, to know the Word of God by divine inspiration. And the same inspiration of the Holy Spirit that was upon Brother Branham is upon me, upon you, upon all who believe the Word of God for this hour. And we don't speak with flesh and blood anymore. If the Lord has spoken to you, you don't speak to a bishop anymore. You don't go to flesh and blood. And I like what our Lord said in Matthew 17, verse 11. And Jesus said unto them, truly Elijah shall first come and restore all things. I cannot go into detail. May God bless you. This is God's time of calling out, of separation, of preparation. This is God's time of restoration of all things back to the beginning, back to where the New Testament started. The end will be as the beginning was. Once again, I'm asking, how many are preparing? How many wish to be ready? Let us stand. Let us stand for a word of prayer. And now a word to them who hear things like this for the first time in your life. Don't judge. Pray. Don't speak with flesh and blood. Talk to the Lord. Take His Word, and the Lord will give you the answer from His Word. Do we have some here who need salvation, who never had the experience of accepting Christ as your personal Savior, of being born again, really born again, having received the new life of Christ, eternal life into your soul? And those who long to receive the Holy Spirit of promise, as we said before, children of promise, believe the word of promise, and they are sealed by the Spirit of promise. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And then we're told in Ephesians 4, verse 13, grieve not the Holy Spirit, by which we are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Please live for the Lord. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Prepare. Stay in the Word of God, in the grace of God, in the love of God. Love one another as He loved us. By this all men shall know that we are the children of God. And those who need divine revelation upon the Word of God promised for this day, the Lord will grant it to you today, not tomorrow. If you believe today, you're received today. And we shall pray together. We shall believe together. Like we said about Abraham. Abraham did not only believe in the existence of God. Abraham believed the promise God made to him. You, a child of Abraham, a child of faith, you believe the promise God made to us in our day and time, and is fulfilling what He promised. This is grace. This is grace. Like we read about Moses in Exodus, Lord, show me your ways. And he said, if I found grace in your sight, let me know your ways. Beloved, I am not judging, but there are so many on TVs. There are so many who are excited. So many who pull the money from the people. So many claim to be sent by God, building their own kingdoms within the kingdom of God. And I'm asking you, watch again. If one of these great men preaches the same sermon like the Apostle Peter did 2,000 years ago, do they preach repentance? Do they preach baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do they all join the Roman formula? Beloved brothers and sisters, this is a time of decision. There will be no compromise with God. Truth is truth, error is error. And so we have to come back to the Word of God. And it says three times in Matthew 24, verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you. You go to Mark, you go to Luke 21, verse 8, take heed that no one deceives you. And then the same words you read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. Take heed that no one deceives you. Brothers and sisters, let me say this in the name of the Lord. Believe as the Scripture says. And receive the divine revelation by the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' holy name that even things I did not mention will be made clear by the Holy Spirit to each and every one. May this day be a special day, the day the Lord has made for us, the day of revelation, the day of decision, the day of clarification, the day of calling out, the day of separation. Dear Lord, I commit this wonderful church and our beloved brother, the pastor, and all the other pastors, all the other fellowships. I commit all things to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Have thy way with us. And Lord God, I pray that I will see each and every one of those who are here today on the bright morning when the trumpet shall sound and the voice of the archangel shall be heard, and the Lord will descend, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who live in Christ will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Dear Lord, change our inside now, that you may change our outside then. Please, please, change our inside. Change our hearts, our thoughts, our lives. And then you will change our bodies. We thank you for the blood of the new covenant. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Be with us, dear Lord, until we meet you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Amen. And everyone says hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Pray for me, and I'll pray for you.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.